Chapter 5. I have never been so embarrassed in my life, Kate stormed as Luke parked his pickup outside the house. How could you do that to me? How could you? During the entire ride home, Luke hadn't spoken a word, nor had he even glanced at her. He'd held himself stiff, staring straight ahead. For all his concern about her riding with Eric, he drove as if the very devil were on their tail. Only when they entered the long, winding drive that led to the house had he reduced his speed. "I'll never forgive you for this," she told him, grabbing the door handle and vaulting out of the truck. She couldn't get away from him fast enough. By morning, every tongue in Nightingale would be wagging, telling how Luke Rivers had hauled Kate Logan out of the Red Bull. To her dismay, Luke followed her into the house. "I couldn't care less if you forgive me or not," he said darkly. "The women were laughing and the men snickering. I won't be able to show my face in this town again."
"As far as I'm concerned, the problem is one of your own making."
"That's not true." She'd had no way of knowing that Eric was going to start downing wine like soda pop, and she did not need a lecture from Luke Rivers. All she wanted him to do was leave so she could lick her wounds in private and figure out how long it would be before she dared go out in public again. Luke started pacing the kitchen floor. Each step was measured and precise, clipped like his voice. "Please go," she beseeched wearily.
"I'm not leaving until I get some answers from you."
Gathering what remained of her dignity, which at this point wasn't much, Kate sank onto a chair. She wouldn't argue with Luke. Every time she tried, she came out the loser. Better to get this over with now rather than wait for morning. She sighed deeply.
"Who the hell is Eric Wilson and why were you having dinner with him?"
Luke's heavy boots clicked against the kitchen floor as he paced. Instead of answering, Kate asked, "What's happened to us?" She gazed sorrowfully up at Luke. "Do you remember how much fun we used to have together? Tonight wasn't fun, Luke. Just a few weeks ago, I could laugh with you and cry with you. You were my friend and I was yours. Suddenly, nothing's the same and I don't understand why." Her voice quavered slightly. She fought an overwhelming desire to hide her face in her hands and weep. She didn't win. Tears of pride and anguish spilled onto her cheeks. She brought her hands up, trying to hide her distress. Luke knelt in front of her and pried her hands away. His fingers tenderly caressed her face.
"Everything has changed, hasn't it, princess?"
She sucked in a shaky breath and nodded.
"You're confused, aren't you?"
His hands cradled her face and he eased forward to press his warm mouth over hers. Even as she kissed him back, her confusion grew. He'd been so angry with her, more furious than she'd ever seen him. Yet when he kissed her, he was achingly gentle. Luke seemed to believe that her ready response to his kiss would answer the questions that haunted her. Instead, it raised more questions, more qualms.
"Do you understand now?"
he asked, his voice a husky murmur, his eyes closed. How Kate wished she did. She shook her head, bewildered and still uncertain. Luke stroked her lips with his index finger. His most innocent touches brought her nerves to life with a prickling, wary excitement. Refusing to think about her own impulse, she held his hand to her mouth and brushed her lips across his calloused fingertips.
"Oh, love,"
he moaned and bent forward, caressing her mouth with his once more.
"We've got to put an end to this madness before I go insane."
"How?" she gasped, as she braced her hands against his broad chest. He felt so good, hard muscle and warm flesh, and so strong, as if nothing could stand in his way once he determined a course. Not heaven, not hell, and not anything in between.
"How?"
he repeated her question, then chuckled, the sound rumbling from deep within his chest.
"We'll have to do what you suggested."
"What I suggested?" His mouth continued to tease hers with a series of small, nibbling kisses that seemed to pluck at her soul.
"There's only one way to cure what's between us, Kate."
"One way?" she echoed weakly.
"You'll have to marry me. There's no help for it, and considering how I feel right now, the sooner the better.
Kate felt as if he'd dumped a bucket of ice water over her head. Marry you? She shrieked, pushing him away so quickly that he nearly toppled backward. Your answer to all this confusion is for us to get married?
Kate, don't be unreasonable. We're perfect for each other. You need me now more than at any time in your life, and I'm here for you.
Luke, please.
No.
He stopped her with a look.
You're about to lose everything in life that you thought was secure, your father and your home. I don't have any intention of taking over Devin's role, but the way I figure it, I'd make you a decent husband.
What about love? Kate cried. Luke sighed in frustration.
We've gone over that 10 times. You already love me.
Like a brother?
Princess, sisters don't kiss their brothers the way you just kissed me.
He apparently believed that was argument enough. Not knowing how else to respond, she shook her head. I love Clay. You keep ignoring that or insisting I don't, but I do. I have for as long as I can remember. I can't marry you. I won't.
For heaven's sake, forget Clay.
It's not so easy, she shouted.
It would be if you'd try a little harder,
Luke muttered, obviously losing patience.
I'm asking you to marry me, Kate Logan, and a smart woman like you should know a good offer when she hears one.
So much for love. So much for romance. Luke wasn't even listening to her, and Kate doubted he'd understood a single thing she'd said. This conversation isn't getting us anywhere.
Kate.
I think you should leave.
Kate,
he said, firmly gripping her shoulders.
How long is it going to take you to realize that I love you and you love me?
Love you? How can you say that? Until a few weeks ago, I was engaged to marry Clay Franklin. Angrily, she pushed away his hands and sprang to her feet.
Yes, and all that time you were going to marry the wrong man.
Luke didn't seem to find that statement the least bit odd, as if women regularly chose to marry one man when they were really in love with another. Kate shook her head, releasing a harsh breath.
It's the truth,
he said calmly. She glared at him. Reasoning with Luke was a waste of time. He repeated the same nonsensical statements over and over, as if his few words were explanation enough. I'm going to bed, she said, turning abruptly away from him. You can do as you like. A moment of stunned silence followed her words before he chuckled softly. Seductively.
I'm sure you don't mean that the way it sounds.
As Kate expected, the small community buzzed with the news of her fiasco with Eric Wilson. Neighbor delighted in telling neighbor how Luke Rivers had swooped her into his arms and how the entire Friday night crowd at the Red Bull had cheered as he'd carried her off the dance floor. Kate needed every ounce of courage she possessed just to walk down Main Street. Her smile felt stiff and false, and she was convinced she had the beginnings of an ulcer. To worsen matters, all the townsfolk seemed to believe it was their place to offer her free advice.
You stick with Luke Rivers. He's a far better man than that city slicker,
the butcher told her Saturday afternoon. Blushing heatedly, she ordered a pork roast and left as soon as she'd paid.
I understand you and Luke Rivers caused quite a ruckus the other night at the steakhouse,
the church secretary said Sunday morning after the service.
I heard about the romantic way Luke carried you outside.
Kate hadn't found being carried off the least bit romantic, but she smiled kindly, made no comment, and returned home without a word.
What's this I hear about you and Luke Rivers?
The moment Kate entered her classroom Monday morning, Sally Daly appeared. Whatever you heard, I'm sure it was vastly exaggerated, Kate said hurriedly.
That could be,
Sally admitted with a delicate laugh.
You certainly know how to keep this town talking. First Clay's wedding reception and now this. By the way, Clay and Rory are back from Hawaii and I heard they both have marvelous tans.
That often happens in Hawaii, Kate said sarcastically, barely holding on to her composure. No sooner had Sally left than Linda showed up.
Is it true? She demanded, her eyes as round as quarters. Kate shrugged. Probably. Oh, good grief. The whole thing about squelching rumors backfired, didn't it? Miserably, Kate nodded. She was afraid she'd dissolve in a puddle of tears the next time someone mentioned Luke's name. After what happened to me Friday night, well, I just don't think it's possible to feel any more humiliated. I thought you said you hadn't met Eric, Linda said, clearly puzzled. I hadn't when you and I talked. Eric and I ran into each other at the grocery not 10 minutes after you mentioned his name. Linda slumped against the side of Kate's desk. I try for months to meet a new man and nothing happens. It doesn't make sense. A few minutes after you decide to look, one pops up in front of you like a bird in a turkey shoot. Beginner's luck. Except that Friday night could in no way be classified as lucky. Oh, Kate, you've really done it now. I know, she whispered in a tone of defeat. Kate's day ended much as it had begun, which meant that by 4 o'clock she had a headache to rival all headaches. After school, she stopped at the pharmacy and bought a bottle of double-strength aspirin and some antacid tablets. When she left the pharmacy, she headed for the library, wondering if Rory would be back at work so soon after her honeymoon. Her friend's smiling face greeted Kate the instant she walked through the doors. Kate, it's so good to see you. Hi, Rory. Kate still felt a little awkward with Clay's bride. She suffered no regrets about bringing them together, though it had been the most painful decision of her life. Sally Daly's right, Kate said with a light laugh as she kissed Rory's cheek. You're so tanned. You look wonderful. Rory accepted the praise with a smile that shone from her dark brown eyes. To be honest, I never thought I'd get Clay to laze away 7 whole days on the beach, but he did. Oh, Kate, we had the most wonderful time. I'm glad. And she was. Rory radiated happiness, and the glow of it warmed Kate's numb heart. I was just about to go on my coffee break. Have you got time to join me? Rory invited, glancing at her watch. I'd love to. Kate crossed her fingers. She hoped Rory hadn't heard any of the gossip, no doubt colorfully embroidered by now, about what had happened Friday night. At the moment, Kate needed a friend, a good friend, someone she could trust to be objective. While Rory arranged to leave the library in the hands of a volunteer assistant, Kate walked over to Nellie's cafe across the street from the pharmacy. She'd already ordered their coffee when Rory slipped into the red upholstered booth across from her. What's this I've been hearing all day about you and Luke? Honestly, Kate, you know how to live dangerously, don't you? And now Luke's buying the Circle L and your father's marrying Mrs. Murphy. We were only gone 7 days, but I swear it felt like a year with everything Mary had to tell us once we got home. Kate tried to maintain a stoic expression, although the acid in her stomach seemed to be burning a hole straight through her. There were no secrets in this town. To tell you the truth, Luke and I haven't been getting along very well lately, she admitted, keeping her eyes lowered so as not to meet her friend's questioning gaze. Rory took a tentative sip of coffee. Do you want to talk about it? Kate nodded. She felt embarrassingly close to tears and paid careful attention to the silverware, repositioning the fork and the spoon several times. Luke was so good to me after you and Clay became engaged. He couldn't have been a better friend. Then, after the wedding, I was feeling lost and alone. Luke had been dancing with me, and I felt so secure in his arms. And I'm afraid I suggested something foolish. And now Luke keeps reminding me of it. That doesn't sound like Luke. Rory frowned in puzzlement. Nor does suggesting something foolish sound like you. I had a glass of champagne on an empty stomach, Kate offered as an excuse. What about Luke? I don't know, but I swear he's become so unreasonable about everything, and he keeps saying the most ridiculous things. Give me an example, Rory said. Kate shrugged. He claims I love him. Her remark was followed by a short silence. What do you feel for Luke? Rory asked. I care about him, but not in the way he assumes.
Her finger idly circled the rim of the coffee cup while she composed her thoughts. What irritates me most is that Luke discounts everything I felt for Clay, as if my love for him was nothing more than wasted emotion. Kate felt awkward explaining this to her ex-fiancé's wife, but Rory was the one person who'd understand. "And now that Clay's married to me," Rory said, "Luke seems to think some light bulb has snapped on inside your brain."
"Exactly.
He thinks you should have no hesitation about throwing yourself into his loving arms?"
"Yes."
Rory explained it far better than Kate had.
"He keeps insisting I need him and that if I thought about it, I'd realize I do love him. If it was only Luke, I could probably deal with it. But everyone in town, including my own father, thinks I should marry him too."
"That's when you agree to have dinner with that new attorney. What's his name again?"
"Eric Wilson."
"Yes, that was exactly the reason I went out with him.
Rory, I tell you, I was desperate. Every time I turned around, Luke was there wearing this smug, knowing look and casually announcing that we'd be married before Christmas. He makes the whole thing sound like it's a foregone conclusion, and if I resist him, I'd be going against nature or something."
She paused and waved her hand dramatically.
Rory laughed. "Is he really doing that?"
Kate nodded grimly.
"Actually, there's more."
She felt she had to tell Rory everything. "To be fair, you should know I have no one to blame but myself. Luke may be doing all this talking about us getting married, but I was the one who
suggested it."
"How? When?"
"Oh, the something foolish you mentioned."
Shredding the paper napkin into tiny strips, Kate nodded again, flinching at the memory. "Honestly, Rory, I didn't mean it. We were standing in the moonlight at your wedding dance, and everything was so serene and beautiful. The words just slipped out of my mouth before I stopped to think what I was saying."
"The incident with the attorney didn't help."
Kate sighed. "And now that Dad's marrying Mrs. Murphy and Luke's bought the ranch, everything's getting worse.
Luke can be a bit overpowering at times, can't he?"
Kate rolled her eyes in agreement. "But you know what bothers me even more than Luke's cavalier attitude is the way everyone else seems to be siding with him."
"You mean about marrying Luke?"
"Yes."
Kate gave another forlorn sigh.
"Look at my dad. He's the perfect example. And everyone in town seems to think that if I'm foolish enough to let another good man slip through my fingers, I'll end up 30 and a spinster for sure."
"That's crazy."
Coming from San Francisco, Rory couldn't understand how differently people in this small Oregon community viewed life, Kate mused. A woman already 30 years old and unmarried was likely to stay that way, at least in Nightingale.
"You haven't lived here long enough to know how folks in this town think." "Kate, you're over 21. No one can force you to marry Luke, remember that."
Kate rested her elbows on the table and cradled her coffee cup in both hands. "I feel like I'm caught in a current that's flowing too fast for me. I'm afraid to stand up for fear I'll lose my footing, but I can't just allow it to carry me where it will either."
"No, you can't," Rory said, and her mouth tightened.
"Luke, and practically everyone else, apparently sees me as a poor, spineless soul who can't possibly decide what's best for her own life."
"That's not true at all," Rory declared. "And don't let anyone tell you you're weak. If that was the case, you would have married Clay yourself instead of working so hard to make sure we found each other."
Kate dismissed that with a shake of her head. "I did the only thing I could."
"But not everyone would have been so unselfish. Clay and I owe our happiness to you."
She clasped Kate's hands with her own.
"I wish I knew how to help you. All I can tell you is to listen to your own heart."
"Oh, Rory, I feel so much better talking to you." She knew her friend was right. She'd faltered for a step or two, but considering everything that had happened in the past little while, that was understandable. Luke might believe she needed him, but she didn't, not really. In the weeks to come, she'd have the opportunity to prove it.
"Before I forget," Rory said, her voice eager, "Clay and I want to invite you over for dinner one night soon. As I said, we feel deeply indebted to you and want to thank you for what you did."
"Dinner,"
Kate repeated, suddenly dismayed. She'd need time to prepare herself before facing Clay again. Here she was, reassuring herself in one breath and then doubting herself in the next.
Would next Tuesday be all right?
Rory pressed.
But you've hardly had time to settle in with Clay, Kate said, turning her attention back to her friend. How about giving it another week or two?
Are you worried that I'm going to serve my special seafood fettuccine?
Rory asked with a laugh. When she'd first been stranded in Nightingale, Rory had cooked it for Clay and his younger brother, Skip, one night. But unfortunately, because both men did strenuous physical jobs, they were far more interested in a hearty meat and potatoes meal at the end of the day. Neither of them had considered seafood in a cream sauce with fancy noodles a very satisfactory repast, though Clay had politely tried to hide his disappointment. Skip hadn't. Kate smiled at the memory of that night and slowly shook her head. You serve whatever you want. I'm much easier to please than Skip.
Actually, Mary will probably do the cooking. She's been the Franklin's housekeeper for so many years that I don't dare invade her kitchen just yet. After the fettuccine disaster, she doesn't trust me around her stove any more than Skip does.
They both laughed, and to Kate, it felt good to forget her troubles, even for a few minutes.
I should get back to the library,
Rory said reluctantly. I need to head home myself. Kate left some change on the table and slid out of the booth. Impulsively, she hugged Rory, grateful for the time they'd spent together and for the other woman's support.
I'm glad you're my friend, she whispered, feeling a little self-conscious.
I am too, Rory said, and hugged her back. By the time Kate pulled into the Circle L driveway, she was filled with bold resolution. She hurried inside just long enough to set a roast in the oven and change her clothes. Then she went into the yard, intent on confronting Luke. She wanted to get this over with as soon as possible. As luck would have it, Luke wasn't in any of the places she normally found him. Bill Schmidt, a longtime ranch hand, was working in the barn by himself. Bill, have you seen Luke? She asked. Bill straightened and set his hat farther back on his head.
Can't say I have, at least not in the past couple of hours. Said he was going out to look for strays. I imagine he'll be back pretty soon now.
I see. Kate gnawed her lower lip, wondering what she should do. Without pausing to question the wisdom of her decision, she reached for a bridle.
Bill, would you get Nonstop for me?
Nonstop was the fastest horse in their stable. Kate was in the mood for some exercise. If she didn't find Luke, that was fine, too. She could use a good hard ride to vent some of the frustration that had been binding her all week.
Sure, Miss Logan.
Bill left his task and headed for the corral, returning a few minutes later with Nonstop.
Luke seemed to be in the mood to do some riding himself this afternoon.
He commented as he helped her cinch the saddle.
Must be the weather.
Must be, Kate agreed. Minutes later, Nonstop was cantering out of the yard. Kate hadn't ridden in weeks, and she was surprised to realize just how long it had been. When she was engaged to Clay, she'd spent many a summer afternoon in the saddle, many a Saturday or Sunday riding by his side. That had ended about the same time as their wedding plans. She felt a stinging sense of loss, but managed to dispel it with a memory of her talk with Rory. Bill pointed out the general direction Luke had taken, and Kate followed that course at a gallop. She found it wonderfully invigorating to be in the saddle again. The afternoon remained mild, but the breeze carried the distinctive scent of autumn. These past few days had been Indian summer with rare clement temperatures. Within the hour, the sun would set, bathing the rolling green hills in a golden haze. Kate. Her name floated on a whisper of wind. Pulling back on the reins, Kate halted the mare and turned in the saddle to discover Luke trotting toward her. She raised her hand and waved. Much of her irritation had dissipated, replaced by a newly awakened sense of well-being. No longer did Kate feel her life was roaring out of control. She was in charge, and it exhilarated her. Luke dismounted as soon as he reached her.
Is everything all right?
Of course, she said with a slight laugh. I hope I didn't frighten you. No, I rode into the yard not more than 15 minutes after you left, according to Bill. I was afraid I wasn't going to catch you. You were riding like a demon.
I had some thinking to do.
Bill said you were looking for me.
Yes, she agreed. I wanted to talk to you.
There was no better time than the present, and no better place. They were at the top of a grassy hill that looked out over a lush green valley. Several head of cattle dotted the pasture spread out below them, grazing in the last of the afternoon sun.
Luke lifted his hands to her waist, helping her out of the saddle. His eyes held hers as he lowered her to the ground. Once again, she was aware that his touch had a curious effect on her, but she stringently ignored it. Still, Kate's knees felt a little shaky, and she was more breathless than she should have been after her ride. She watched Luke loop the reins over the horses' heads to dangle on the ground. Both Nonstop and Silver Shadow, Luke's gelding, were content to graze leisurely.
It's nice out this afternoon, isn't it? She said,
then sank down on the grass and drew up her legs. Luke sat down beside her, gazing out over the valley.
It's a rare day. I don't expect many more like it.
Rory and Clay are back from Hawaii. Luke had removed his leather work gloves to brush a stray curl from her temple, then stopped abruptly and withdrew his hand.
I take it you saw Rory.
She nodded, adding, We had coffee at Nellie's.
You're not upset?
Not at all.
I thought you looked more at peace with yourself.
He leaned back and rested his weight on the palms of his hands. His long legs were stretched in front of him, crossed at the ankles.
Did you finally recognize that you never did love Clay? That you're in love with me?
No, she said vehemently, amazed he could anger her so quickly. Luke turned away.
I'd hoped you were willing to discuss a wedding date, he said stiffly.
Oh, Luke, she whispered and closed her eyes. He was so worried for her, so concerned, and she didn't know how to reassure him. Luke, she said softly, we've been having the same discussion all week, and it's got to come to an end.
Luke faced her, and their eyes met with an impact that shocked her.
Luke, I think you're a wonderful man. I have for years and years, she continued. But I don't love you, at least not the way you deserve to be loved.
Luke's eyebrows soared, then his brow furrowed. He seemed about to argue, but Kate stopped him before he had the chance. I refuse to be coerced into a wedding simply because you feel it's the best thing for me, because you feel I need looking after. Frankly, I don't believe marriage is a good idea for us, at least not to each other.
Kate, love.
Lowering her lashes in an effort to disguise her frustration, Kate reminded him for what seemed the thousandth time,
I am not your love.
His eyes became sharper, more intent.
Then explain, he said slowly, why it feels so right when I hold you. How do you answer that?
She avoided his gaze, her eyes focusing a fraction below his.
I can't explain it any more than I can deny it.
She'd admit that much.
I do enjoy it when you kiss me, though I don't know why, especially since I'm still in love with Clay. My guess is that we've lived all these years in close proximity and were such good friends that it was a natural, comforting thing to do. But I don't think it should continue.
His nostrils flared briefly, and she could tell he was angered by her words.
I'm begging you, Luke, pleading with you. If you...
Kate, would you listen to me for once?
No, she said, holding her ground. I'm asking for only one thing from you. I want you to drop this incessant pressure to marry you.
But
give me your word, Luke.
His entire expression changed, and just looking at him told Kate how difficult he was finding this.
All right, he said heavily. You have my word. I won't mention it again.
Kate sighed shakily, and all her muscles seemed to go limp.
Thank you, she whispered. That's all I want.
Luke lunged to his feet and reached for Silver Shadow's reins. He eased himself back into the saddle,
then paused to look down at her, his face dark and brooding.
What about what I want, Kate? Did you stop to consider that?
Chapter 6. Kate felt good. The lethargy and depression she'd been feeling since Clay's wedding had started to dissipate. She'd completely adjusted to the idea of her father's impending marriage, and even the sale of the Circle L, to Luke, of all people, no longer seemed so devastating. Clearing the air between them had helped, too. "Evening, Nelly," Kate called as she entered the small, homey cafe. She'd arrived home from school to discover a message from her father suggesting she meet him for dinner at Nellie's at 6 sharp.
"Howdy, Kate,"
Nellie called from behind the counter. Kate assumed her father would be bringing Dorothea so they could discuss last-minute plans for their wedding, which was scheduled for Friday evening at the parsonage. Minnie Wilkins, Pastor Wilkins' wife, and Dorothea were close friends. Kate would be standing up for Dorothea and Luke for her father in the small private ceremony. Carrying a water glass in one hand, a coffee pot in the other, and a menu tucked under her arm, Nellie followed Kate to the booth. "I'm expecting my dad and Dorothea Murphy to join me," Kate explained.
"Sure thing," Nellie said. "The special tonight is Yankee pot roast, and when your daddy gets here, you tell him I pulled a rhubarb pie out of the oven no more than 15 minutes ago."
"I'll tell him."
"Nellie, I could use a refill on my coffee," Fred Garner said, sitting at the table closest to the window. He nodded politely in Kate's direction.
"Good to see you, Kate."
"You too, Fred."
She smiled at the owner of Garner Feed and Supply and the two ranchers who were dining with him. Glancing at her watch, Kate realized her father was a few minutes late, which wasn't like him. To pass the time, she began reading the menu. She was halfway through when the door opened. Smiling automatically, she looked up and saw Luke striding toward her. He slid into the booth across from her.
"Where's your dad?"
"I don't know. He asked me to meet him here for dinner."
"I got the same message."
"I think it has something to do with a wedding."
"No,"
Luke muttered, frowning.
"I've got some bank forms he needs to sign."
Nellie brought another glass of water, then poured coffee for both of them.
"Evening, Nellie."
"Luke Rivers, I don't see near enough of you,"
the older woman said coyly, giving him a bold wink as she sauntered away with a swish of her hips. Astonished that Nellie would flirt so openly with Luke, Kate took a sip of her coffee and nearly scalded her tongue. Why, Nellie had a good 15 years on Luke.
"Does she do that often?"
Kate asked in a disapproving whisper.
"You jealous?"
"Of course not. It's just that I've never known Nellie to flirt quite so blatantly."
"She's allowed."
Luke gazed down at his menu and to all appearances was soon deep in concentration. Kate managed to squelch the argument before it reached her lips. There wasn't a single solitary reason for her to care if 1,000 women threw themselves at Luke Rivers. She had no claim on him and wanted none. The restaurant telephone pealed, but with 4 plates balanced on her arms, Nellie let it ring until someone in the kitchen answered it. A minute later, she approached their table.
"That was Devin on the phone. He says he's going to be late and you two should go ahead and order."
She pulled a notepad from the pocket of her pink uniform.
"Eat hearty since it's on his tab," she said,
chuckling amiably. "The roast beef sandwich sounds good to me," Kate said, "with a small salad."
"I'll have chicken fried steak, just so I can taste those biscuits of yours,"
Luke told the cafe owner, handing her the menu.
"I'll start with the salad, though."
"I got rhubarb pie hot from the oven."
"Give me a piece of that, too,"
Luke said, grinning up at Nellie.
"Kate?"
"Sure," she said, forcing a smile. "Why not?" Once Nellie had left, an awkwardness fell between Kate and Luke. To Kate, it felt as though they'd become strangers, standing on uncertain ground. Luke ventured into conversation first.
"So, how's school?"
"Fine."
"That's good."
She laughed nervously. "I've started washing down cupboards at the house, clearing out things. I've got 2 piles, what Dad's going to take with him and what I'll need when I move."
Instead of pleasing Luke, her announcement had the opposite effect.
You're welcome to live on the ranch as long as you want,
he said, his dark eyes narrowing.
There's no need to move.
I know that, but the Circle L belongs to you, or it will soon.
It's your home.
It won't be much longer, she felt obliged to remind him. I'm hoping to find a place in town. In fact, I'm looking forward to the move. You know what the roads are like in the winter. I should have done this years ago.
You wouldn't have to move if you weren't so damn stubborn,
Luke muttered from between clenched teeth.
I swear, Kate, you exasperate me. The last thing I want to do is take your home away from you.
I know that. She hadn't considered relocating to town earlier for a number of reasons, foremost being that her father had needed her, but he didn't anymore, and it was time to exhibit some independence. Nellie brought their tossed green dinner salads, lingering at the table to flirt with Luke again. He waited until she'd left before he leaned forward, speaking to Kate in a low, urgent voice. His eyes were filled with regret.
Kate, please stay on at the ranch. Let me at least do this much for you.
She thanked him for his concern with a warm smile, but couldn't resist adding, People will talk. After all, Luke had pointed that very fact out to her when she'd made her foolish proposal, the night of Clay's wedding.
Let them talk.
I'm a school teacher, remember? She whispered. She felt genuinely grateful for his friendship and wanted to assure him that all this worry on her behalf was unnecessary, that she was fully capable of living on her own. Their dinner arrived before they'd even finished the salads. Another silence fell over them as they ate. Several possible subjects of conversation fluttered in and out of Kate's mind as the meal progressed. Her fear was that Luke would divert the discussion back to the ranch no matter what she said, so she remained silent. A sudden commotion came from the pavement outside the cafe.
It's Harry Ackerman again,
Fred Garner shouted to Nellie, who was busy in the kitchen.
You want me to call the sheriff?
No, let him sing, Nellie shouted back. He isn't hurting anyone.
Harry Ackerman was the town drunk. Back in his and Nellie's high school days, they'd dated seriously. But then Harry went into the military and returned to Nightingale more interested in the bottle than a wife and family. Within 6 months, Nellie had married a mechanic who'd drifted into town. Problem was, when he drifted out again, he didn't take Nellie or their two children with him. But Nellie hadn't seemed to miss him much, and had supported her family by opening the cafe, which did a healthy business from the first. 15 years had passed, and Harry was still courting Nellie. Every time he came into town, he took it upon himself to sing love songs from the pavement outside the cafe. He seemed to believe that would be enough of an inducement for her to forget the past and finally marry him.
Actually, his singing voice isn't that bad, Kate murmured to Luke.
Luke chuckled.
I've heard better.
Fred Garner stood up and strolled toward the cash register. He nodded in Luke's direction and touched the rim of his hat in greeting.
I've been hearing things about the two of you,
Fred said, grinning broadly. Kate concentrated on her sandwich, refusing to look up from her plate. Luke made some vague reply that had to do with the ranch and not Kate, and she was grateful.
Be seeing you,
Fred said as he headed toward the door. As he opened it, Harry's latest love ballad, sung off-key, could be heard with ear-piercing clarity. Fred left, and soon Harry Ackerman came inside. He stared longingly at Nellie, placed his hand over his heart, and started singing again at the top of his lungs.
You get out of my restaurant, Nellie cried, reaching for the broom. I don't want you in here bothering my customers.
She wielded the broom like a shotgun, and before she could say another word, Harry stumbled outside. He pressed his forlorn face to the glass, content to wait until his one true love returned to his waiting arms.
Sorry, folks,
Nellie muttered, replacing the broom.
No problem,
Luke answered, and she threw him a grateful smile, then hurried over to refill their coffee cups. The disturbance died down when Harry wandered down the street to find a more appreciative audience. Luke sighed as he stirred his coffee.
I don't think your father has any intention of showing up tonight, he began. In fact...
That's ridiculous, Kate said, cutting him off. Dad wouldn't do that.
He's trying to tell you something,
Luke insisted. I can't imagine what. She could, but decided to pretend otherwise. For a long moment, Luke said nothing.
You're smart enough to figure it out, Kate.
He finished off the last bite of his pie and pushed the plate aside.
I've got some things to attend to, so I'd best be leaving.
The corners of his eyes crinkled with amusement as he glanced out the cafe window.
Who knows? You might be singing me love songs in a couple of years if you don't come to your senses soon.
Kate ignored the comment. My father will be here any minute.
No, princess,
Luke said, and the smile left his eyes. He leaned across the table to brush his hand gently against her cheek.
But his message is coming across loud and clear.
Kate stayed at the cafe another half hour after Luke had gone, and it took her that long to admit he was right. Her father had been giving her a message, this one no more subtle than the rest. Expelling her breath in disgust, Kate dredged up a smile and said goodbye to Nellie. Kate didn't see Luke again until Friday evening when they met at the Wilkins' home for her father's wedding. Kate arrived with Devon, and Luke followed a few minutes later. Kate was busy arranging freshly baked cookies on a tray for the small reception to be held after the ceremony when Luke walked into the dining room. Dorothea was with Minnie Wilkins in the back bedroom, and her father and Pastor Wilkins were talking in the office.
Hello, Kate,
Luke said from behind her. Hi, she responded, turning to give him a polite smile. Her breath caught in her throat at the elegant yet virile sight he made. He was dressed in a dark, three-piece suit that did nothing to disguise his strong, well-formed body, and his light blue silk tie enhanced the richness of his tan. Kate suspected that Luke was basking in the wonder she was unable to conceal, and yet she couldn't stop staring at him. Her heart skipped a beat, then leaped wildly as his penetrating brown eyes looked straight into hers. She felt the tears well up, knowing that only Luke truly understood how difficult this evening was for her. Many of her emotions tonight were identical to the ones she'd experienced at Clay's and Rory's wedding. All day she'd worried her stomach into a knot of apprehension. The acceptance and strength of purpose she'd so recently been feeling had fled. Tonight she was reminded again that everything she loved, everything familiar, had been taken from her life. First the man she'd planned to marry, now her father, and soon, so very soon, her childhood home. It was too much change too quickly. Just as she had at Clay's wedding, Kate forced herself to show pleasure, to behave appropriately. She was happy for her father and Dorothea, just as she'd been for Clay and Rory. But why did everyone else's happiness need to cost Kate so much? Luke must have read the distress in her eyes, because he hurried to her side.
Everything's going to be all right,
he told her quietly. He'd said the same thing at Clay's wedding. Of course it is, she agreed, braving a smile. She turned back to the flowers, although her fingers were trembling. I couldn't have chosen a better wife for Dad myself. Dorothy is wonderful. Luke's hands rested on her shoulders and began to caress them gently.
So are you, Princess.
It demanded every ounce of fortitude Kate possessed not to whirl around and bury her face in Luke's chest to absorb his strength. But this was exactly how she'd lost control before. She had to remember that. A sound came from behind them, and Luke released her with a reluctance that echoed her own. She needed Luke now, just as she'd needed him a few weeks before. But this time, she was determined to be stronger. The ceremony itself was brief. Kate felt almost wooden as she stood next to the woman her father had chosen to replace her mother. Memories of the lovely, soft-spoken Nora and of their happy, close-knit family almost overwhelmed Kate. Twice she felt tears threaten, but managed to hold them back. Both times she found Luke's eyes on her, his gaze warm with empathy. When Pastor Wilkins closed his Bible and announced that Devon and Dorothea were now husband and wife, Devon took his bride in his arms and kissed her. Minnie Wilkins dabbed at her eyes with a lace hanky.
"You look so lovely,"
the woman murmured, hugging her friend. Soon they were all hugging each other. When Kate's arm slipped around Luke, it felt comfortable. In fact, it felt too comfortable, too familiar, and that frightened her. She stiffened and let her arms drop. Luke would have none of that, however. Locking his hands on her upper arms, he drew her back to him.
"What I wouldn't give for a full moon and some champagne,"
he whispered in her ear. Kate could have done without his teasing, but she refused to satisfy him with a response. The small reception began immediately afterward, and Kate was busy for the next hour, dishing up pieces of wedding cake, passing trays of sugar cookies, and pouring coffee. Her father came to see her in the kitchen, his eyes bright with happiness.
"You're going to be fine, aren't you, Princess?"
"You know I am," she said, flashing him a brilliant smile.
"Dorothy and I will be leaving soon."
He placed his arm around her shoulders and hugged her.
"Don't forget I love you. You'll always be my little girl. You'll always be my hero."
Devon chuckled.
"I think Luke would like to fill that position, and I'd be pleased if he did.
He's a good man, sweetheart. You could do a lot worse."
"Dad," she groaned, closing her eyes. "Luke is wonderful, and I understand your concern. You'd like all the loose ends neatly tied up before you leave for your honeymoon. But I'm just not ready for a commitment."
"You'd make a lovely country bride, Princess. I want you to be happy, that's all."
"I will be," she said, standing on the tips of her toes to kiss his cheek. By the time Devon and Dorothea were ready to leave, more than 20 close friends had gathered at the parsonage. They crowded onto the porch to send the newlyweds off with a flourish of kisses and enthusiastic waves. Almost everyone returned to the warmth of the house, but Kate lingered, not wanting to go back inside when tears were blurring her eyes. Luke joined her, standing silently at her side until she'd composed herself.
"Your father asked me to see you home."
Kate nodded and swallowed a near hysterical laugh. Despite their conversation, Devon was still attempting to throw her together with Luke.
"You mean you aren't going to argue with me?"
Luke asked with exaggerated surprise. "Would it do any good?"
"No,"
he said, and chuckled lightly. Then suddenly his strong arms encircled her stiff body.
"It's been a long time since you let me kiss you," he said,
his warm breath moving closer and closer to her mouth. Kate stared at his chest, refusing to raise her eyes to his. Gathering her resolve, she snapped her head up to demand he release her. But Luke smothered her words with his mouth. Her hands tightened into fists as soon as the initial shock had subsided, and she fully intended to push him away. But once his mouth had settled over hers, he gentled the kiss, and her resolve all but disappeared. Again and again his mouth sought hers. Luke's sweet, soft kisses seemed to erase all the pain from her heart. Only a moment before, she'd been intent on escaping. Now she clung to him, tilting her face toward him, seeking more. He deepened his kiss, sending jolts of excitement through her. When he stopped abruptly, Kate moaned her dissatisfaction.
"Kate," he warned.
"Luke, don't stop.
I'm afraid we've attracted an audience,"
he returned mildly. Sucking in her breath, Kate dropped her arms and whirled around so fast she would have stumbled if Luke's arms hadn't caught her. Eyes wide, she stared into the faces of the 20 or so guests who'd stepped outside, preparing to leave. "I thought Taylor Morgenroth should play the Indian Chief," Kate was saying to Linda when Sally Daly walked into the faculty lounge Monday afternoon. The two were discussing the final plans for their Thanksgiving play.
"Taylor's the perfect choice," Linda agreed.
"I see you girls are busy," Sally commented. "This play is such an ambitious project. You two are to be commended."
"Thanks,"
Linda answered for them both, trying to ignore the other woman as much as possible.
Wasn't that Rory Franklin I saw you with the other day, Kate, dear?
Yes, we had coffee at Nellie's. She resumed her discussion with Linda, not wanting to be rude to Sally, but at the same time, hoping to dissuade her from further conversation. But Sally refused to be thwarted. She settled in the chair opposite Kate and said in confidential tones,
"You're completely over Clay Franklin now, aren't you, dear?"
Kate shared an exasperated look with Linda and nearly laughed out loud when the third-grade teacher playfully rolled her eyes toward the ceiling. To hear Sally talk, anybody would think Kate had recently recovered from a bad case of the flu.
"Sally!"
Kate exclaimed when she realized how avidly the other woman was waiting for her reply.
"How am I supposed to answer that?"
She covered her heart dramatically with one hand and assumed a look meant to portray misery and anguish. "Do you want me to tell you that my pride's been shattered and I'll never love again?" Sally shook her head.
"I wouldn't believe it anyway."
"Then why ask?"
Linda prompted.
"Well, because we all love Kate. She's such a dear, and she's been through so much lately."
"Thank you,"
Kate said graciously, then returned her attention to the Thanksgiving project.
"Most of the fuss about you and Eric Wilson and Luke Rivers has died down now,"
Sally assured her, as if this should lessen the embarrassment of that Friday night.
"I take it you haven't talked to Eric lately?"
Linda asked, surprising Kate with her sudden interest. There'd been plenty of opportunity to inquire about him, but Linda hadn't done so until now.
"Talk to him?"
Kate echoed with a short, derisive laugh. "I don't even shop at the Safeway store for fear of running into him again."
"I don't think you need to worry,"
Sally said blandly. "From what I hear, he's avoiding you too." Linda snickered softly.
"No doubt. I'm sure Luke Rivers put quite a scare into him."
"How do you mean?" Kate demanded, already angry with Luke.
"You don't know?"
Sally asked, her eyes sparkling with excitement.
"Know what?"
Kate swung her gaze first to Linda, then to Sally.
"Did Luke threaten him?"
If he had, he was going to hear about it from her.
"I haven't got the foggiest idea what Sally's talking about,"
Linda said quickly.
"I didn't hear anything specific,"
Sally confirmed sheepishly.
"I thought maybe you."
The older teacher's expression suggested that she hoped Kate would fill in the succulent details herself.
"My dear, surely you understand that everyone in town is speculating about you and Luke,"
she continued.
"Rumors have been floating around since Clay's wedding,"
Linda added.
"But Sally just finished telling me those were dying down,"
Kate snapped, irritated with the entire discussion.
"The rumors aren't about you and that Wilson fellow,"
Sally rushed to explain.
"As far as your one date with him is concerned, it's history. He's too smart to cross Luke."
"I'm sure he is," Kate said, anxious to quell the woman's gossip.
"Aren't we about finished here, Linda?" she asked pointedly.
Yes.
"Now folks are talking about seeing you and Luke together at Nellie's last week, just before your father's wedding. And there have been a few rumors flying about the two of you at Pastor Wilkins, too."
As fast as her hands would cooperate, Kate gathered up their materials. Sally seemed to accept that she was about to lose her audience. If she'd come to pump Kate for information, she'd just have to realize Kate wasn't talking. Standing, Sally gave a deep sigh, clearly disappointed. She collected her purse and headed out the door, pausing to look back.
"Frankly, I think Fred Garner's carrying this thing about you and Luke a bit too far. I consider what he's doing in poor taste."
With that, she left the room.
"Fred Garner?"
Linda echoed after a stunned second.
"What's that old coot doing now?"
"Fred Garner owns the feed store,"
Kate said in a puzzled voice.
"Yes, but what's he got to do with anything?"
"Beats me."
Still, Kate couldn't help wondering. Fred had seen them at the restaurant, and he'd been at the reception for her father and Dorothea. Although she hadn't seen him on the porch when a number of guests had found her in Luke's arms, she had very little doubt that he was there. When Kate drove home an hour later, Luke was working in the yard. She climbed out of the car, took two steps toward him, and halted abruptly. The lump in her throat was so large she could hardly swallow, let alone speak. The trembling had started the minute she left Garner Feed and Supply. She'd dropped in at the store following Sally's remark, and from then on everything had grown progressively worse. The way she felt right now, she could slam her bag over Luke's head, or do something equally violent and feel completely justified.
"Kate?"
he asked, looking concerned.
"What's wrong?"
She knew her emotions were written on her face. She'd never been more scandalized in her life, which was saying a great deal, considering the fiasco with Eric Wilson. In fact, the blow her dignity had been dealt by Luke Rivers during that incident paled in comparison with this latest outrage. There was only one thing for her to do. She'd have to move away from Nightingale. "This is all you're doing, isn't it?" she demanded in a shaking voice. She held her head high, although it was a struggle to preserve her composure. Her pride was all she had left, and that was crumbling at her feet. Luke advanced several steps toward her.
"What are you talking about?"
She ground her fist into her hip. "I just got back from the feed store. Does that tell you anything?"
"No."
"I'll bet." He frowned.
"Kate, I swear to you, I don't know what you're talking about."
She made a doubting noise that came out sounding and feeling like a sob. Yet he appeared so bewildered. She didn't know how any man could cause her such life-shattering embarrassment and maintain that look of faithful integrity. The tears wouldn't be restrained any longer, and they fell from her eyes, running down her face. They felt cool against her flushed cheeks.
"Kate, what's wrong?"
Kate turned and walked rapidly away from Luke rather than allow him to witness her loss of control. She hurried into the house and slumped in a chair, hiding her face in her hands as she battled the terrible urge to weep hysterically. The painful sensation in the pit of her stomach grew more intense every time she took a breath. The door opened and she said, "Go away."
"Kate?
Haven't you done enough?" Each word rolled from her tongue on the end of a hiccuping sob. He knelt in front of her and wrapped his arms around her, holding her close, but she pushed him away, refusing the comfort he offered. Kate's shoulders still heaved. With an exasperated sigh, Luke got up. He stood back on his boot heels and buried his hands in his pockets.
"All right. Tell me about it."
"Pastor Wilkins bet $20 on December," she told him between sobs, her fingers curled into fists. "Even Clay put in a wager." Seeing his name on that huge blackboard had hurt more than anything.
"Kate, I swear to you, I don't know what you're talking about."
Furiously, she wiped the tears from her face and tried to marshal her self-control enough to speak clearly. "The feed store," she managed.
"What about the feed store?"
"They're taking bets. It's a regular lottery," she cried, all the more furious with him because he was making her spell out this latest humiliation.
"Bets on what?"
Luke's frown was growing darker, and Kate could tell that he was dangerously close to losing his patience. "On us," she wailed, as if that much, at least, should be obvious.
"For what?"
"When we're going to be married," she shouted. "What else? Half the town's gambling on the date of our wedding." Luke moaned, closing his eyes as if he couldn't quite believe what she was telling him. "You honestly didn't know?"
"Of course not."
He was beginning to look perturbed, as only Luke could. His dark eyes took on a cold glare that would intimidate the strongest of men.
"How'd you find out?"
"Sally Daly said something about it after school, and then in the school car park, one of the mothers told me March is a lovely time of year for a wedding. March 16th, she said. Then I made the mistake of stopping in at the feed store on my way home to check out what was going on." Luke nodded, but Kate had the impression he was only half listening to her. "As far as I'm concerned, there's just one thing for me to do," she said, gaining strength from her decision.
I'll offer my resignation to the school board tomorrow morning and leave the district this weekend. Luke sent her a quick, angry look.
That won't be necessary. I'll take care of this my own way.